Welcome back to the NatMatSci podcast, brought to you by the National Mathematics and Science College. This is the podcast to let you find out more about NatMatSci by hearing staff and students talking about their experiences, all unscripted and unplugged, so that you can hear what life is really like at the college. Now, today I'm speaking to Dr. Rob Smith. He's the new chemistry teacher at the college. This means I get to find out from him what brought him into the world of chemistry, what attracted him to the college, how he's planning on making a positive impact there, and what he feels the qualities are of a good teacher. Now, before joining the college, Rob was teaching in a university environment, so I was also keen to know from him how he felt he was going to help the students at the college. So I'm very happy to share that with you too. So come with me now as we explore chemistry at the college through a conversation with Dr. Rob Smith. Rob, thank you for being here and welcome to this episode of the podcast. How are you today?
Hi, Simon. Yeah, good to be here. Thank you for having me. I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm very good indeed, thanks. Very good. It's great to talk to you and I'm super excited because at the moment, at the time of recording, you're not at the college, but you're about to join and the college will be a better place for that, I'm sure. But I'm dying to find out more about your background and really where you've come from and how you ended up joining the National Mathematics and Science College. But I wonder if you could just tell us a little bit, first of all, where you grew up, where you went to school yourself.
So I grew up not too far away. I grew up in a county called Shropshire, which is just the other side of Birmingham, really. And I went to school in a small town called Newport, at a grammar school. And from there, went to York University to study chemistry, followed by Leeds University, where I learned to teach. And then I returned to York to do a PhD in chemistry because I felt I hadn't really got enough chemistry yet. So it was nice to get a bit more from there and then proceeded back into teaching after that, really.
So when you were at school, what was it about chemistry that sort of enticed you into that world?
It's difficult to say. I can't really remember, to be honest. It feels like a long time ago. The subject itself is very interesting and it helps you understand the world around you, I think. In quite a broad sense, it's not an awful lot that can't be explained by some sort of chemistry, which I find to be quite interesting, to be honest. And although it is a broad subject, it means there's something there for everyone, at least a little bit. And inevitably, there are some things you're also not going to enjoy about it, as it is so broad.
No, of course. Well, being on the receiving end of education of chemistry when you were at school, I mean, what kind of a chemistry teacher did you have?
I had some excellent chemistry teachers, to be honest. I think that's actually a really good point. When I was at York as well, we did a survey about what brought people into chemistry. I think about 80% of the people said it was their teacher. It's a really excellent question, actually, because that has to be a key factor as well. Yeah, some of the teachers I had were really inspiring, very highly educated, and clearly loved their subject and were willing to explain things in, you know, as much detail as it took for you to get it, basically.
So how does that make you feel, given the fact that you do teaching of chemistry and, you know, on the one hand, positively, you've got the ability to influence people in a very positive way that they may go on to do things chemistry related in their lives, but at the same time, you've also got, worryingly, the ability to switch people off chemistry by not being a good teacher at it?
That's true, yeah. Yeah, I think there is that responsibility as a teacher not to mess that up for people. Yeah, I think as long as you're keeping students engaged and you're providing them with activities that are getting them thinking and stretching them and really challenging the way they think, I think it's kind of difficult to switch people off too much.
Okay, so why the National Mathematics and Science College? What is it about this place that attracted you?
Yeah, it's a really unique place, I think. I haven't seen anywhere like it in the time that I've been teaching. It's fairly new, I think, right, for a school. And what they're trying to do is really interesting. It's really exciting. I love the fact that it's quite small. It feels like, and I've had a few emails already from various colleagues saying it's like a family. Mm-hmm. Which is great. I'm really excited to be involved in that. Mm. And the fact that they are looking to push students beyond what is typically expected of them is really, really exciting, I think. That represents a different type of challenge in being able to help students access that higher content in a scaffolded way, really. I think that could be quite an exciting exciting element of the job.
What do you mean exactly by scaffolded way?
Well, I think if you're trying to chuck students in at the deep end without any help to access some of that, frankly, challenging content, it can be quite scary. And that could link back to what you were saying earlier about putting students off a subject and things. You have to get there through the zone of proximal learning, I guess, and help students access that information.
Tell me more then about your initial impressions of the college and its community as well.
Yeah, it's very good. I've only been there once for interview. I was very impressed when I was there. Everyone's so friendly. As I say, it feels like a small, tight-knit community. Very supportive, very friendly. And the facilities there look to be excellent.
Which facilities are you thinking about?
In terms of the student experience, I think it would have been great to go there as a student. Nice canteen and, you know, like lots of space for learning and good-sized classrooms, well-supplied labs. And I think the accommodation as well, from what I saw, looks to be really nice. So I just think it would be a really nice place to study, to be honest.
Yeah, and given the fact, of course, that you studied chemistry yourself at A-level, and, you know, here we are, people at this age studying chemistry and other science-related subjects, and a few other things, of course. But it's not like people are there studying a wide range of subjects. So the benefit of that, I imagine, is that you get that close-knit community, a word to use a word that you've already mentioned, but also very much like-minded people who are, you know, really interested and fascinated by the same subjects.
I suppose so. And actually, there's a big drive for STEM nowadays, isn't there, in terms of the interdisciplinary nature of the sciences. And that could lead to some really nice sorts of collaborations between the sciences and pulling out more than you can get from just studying each science in isolation.
So tell me how you're planning on making a positive impact on the students there at the college.
I'm quite hopeful to bring some of my personality to the role, as I would anywhere. But I think having come from the university where I've been teaching undergraduates for the last 6 years, I'm hopeful I can bring some of that experience to the students at NatMatSci and really push them beyond that A-level content and help them out with things like the Olympiads and all those extracurriculars that they're really highly involved with already.
You mentioned about bringing that experience from, you know, the university environment. How do you see that helping, given that you'll be teaching people who are just a little bit younger than university age?
Yep. So I think it's basically the stuff that they're doing beyond the A-level, really, where that'll come in nicely. I do have quite a bit of experience teaching in colleges and schools as well at A-level. So hopefully that'll probably be more use for their actual qualification. But it's the stuff that goes beyond that, really, where the university experience should come in. I think, like I say, for their Olympiad content and things like that, that'll be really useful, hopefully, for the students to be able to, again, get that sort of higher content beyond the A-level degree. Mm. And hopefully they come away with some good awards from those certificates that the RSC provide.
And given the fact that most of these students will be going on to university anyway, how beneficial do you think it'll be that you have that experience of university life as well as having taught at, you know, this kind of age group as well?
Hopefully on a personal note, I can give them some advice on what it's like, basically, when they take that next step, regardless of what subject they choose. It's a difficult step, really. And the more we can give them at this stage, I think the easier it will make that transition, as it can be quite difficult. Yeah, I'll be happy to just give some advice on that as well, to be honest.
Okay, so let's just jump forward a little bit, just a few weeks, no more than that, to the time where you actually arrive. How do you intend to sort of, you know, bed yourself in as quickly as possible to, you know, create new relationships and to feel comfortable in your own skin working in a new environment, but equally, or possibly more importantly, kind of comfortable for other people that you're going to be working with?
Yeah, good question. I think over the next couple of months, I've got a lot of work to do, planning and making sure that when I start in September, I'll be hitting the ground running and not sort of playing catch up straight away, basically. And that should hopefully free me up a little bit more to to forge those personal connections with colleagues and really to put myself out there and offer as much help as possible to anyone that needs it, really. I think hopefully anyone that's worked with me in the past knows that I'm very approachable and willing to help out on whatever they need, really, to help get the job done in the student's best interests, really.
And I'd love to know what your thoughts are on how a teacher can be a good, effective teacher. You know, what are some of the key qualities of being a good teacher?
Well, my personal thoughts is to try and keep it as simple as possible. Just know what you're talking about and try and communicate it as clearly as possible. The two leading things in my head, that has to go in some manner of delivery or whatever that may be. It has to keep students active. I think active learning is the way, and you can't just sit there lecturing, basically. As long as the students are highly involved and they're central to the process, you know what you're talking about and you know how to explain things clearly, should be okay.
Rob, what are some of the most sort of, or not necessarily the most, but what are some of the amazing things about chemistry? You know, when you talk to someone who's into, I don't know, astrophysics or something like that, then they might wow you with some incredible facts about life, the universe, and everything. If I asked you a similar question about the world of chemistry, what would you say? Take your time on that one.
I don't really know where to start, to be honest. As I mentioned before, it's such a broad subject. It's difficult to pick any one thing. I mean, personally, my level of interest really started with biological chemistry, sort of processes in the body, and medicinal chemistry, how that affects those sorts of processes, and how we as humans have this incredible ability to just develop these medicines to cure most problems that go on in the human body, and things on a microscopic scale you can't even see go on, like arms races within the body and medicinal developments to counter those arms races, and then bacterial pathogens sort of developing ways to fight back against that, and it's a continual arms race. That's completely fascinating to me, but it's just one small area of a massive subject, to be honest. I mean, you could go as simple as saying we get to do some loud bangs, and that is equally fascinating to me, creating the best bang.
Awesome. I love that. But it's interesting that you mentioned about things inside the body, because, you know, clearly there we've got a bit of crossover between chemistry and biology. It's interesting that there's no sort of clear line as to where one stops and the other one starts, is there?
I guess, the three traditional school sciences are just human constructs, right? The genres. I mean, it's all just knowledge, isn't it? And we've just decided to put some borders in arbitrary places. But yeah, there's definitely a lot of crossover, as you mentioned, with the astrophysics there as well. There's genres of chemistry called astrochemistry, about all the elements out in space, and there's strong links across all three sciences there, with chemistry sort of sitting in the middle, really, I would say.
And I guess that kind of hints at the collaboration that you talked about earlier on.
I think so, yeah. I think it's really important these days to generate that sort of lateral thinking across all three, because there's concepts that you can pull out of one which will be more than relevant to another one as well, which is important to bear in mind when you're studying that subject as well.
So how much are we still learning as a world in this beautiful subject of chemistry?
I don't know. I really don't know. Probably more than we'll ever know, I guess. I think the more I've learned as I've gone through is I just know less than I thought I'd ever did before every year that goes by. It's amazing how much we're learning. And I think particularly from a chemistry point of view, it does come back to that interdisciplinary thing again as well. Just within research, I think there's a little bit less going on in what you call pure classic chemistry, and more that has been linked with biology, that has been linked with physics, and it's those combinations that are working together that are generating the more important or interesting research these days.
And then students that study chemistry at A level, or then going on to university to study it there, if they don't go into teaching it, typically what kind of fields do they end up working in?
I think most of the undergraduates I've seen at Warwick are looking at finance. That seems to be a big draw. And it's basically because of the transferable skills, I think you'd call them, that skill set they get from a chemistry degree that employers in finance seem to really value. And so a large chunk of those undergraduates go down that pathway.
Gosh, I wasn't expecting that. What are those transferable skills, or what are some of those transferable skills?
Yeah, it's difficult for me to say off the top of my head, but problem solving would be probably the number one thing. Data analysis, using Excel, things like that to generate graphs and work out trends and patterns from that data. And yeah, I think that's probably about it, basically. I can't really remember off the top of my head. They do really value something about it, but it's quite a large number of our grads go to finance.
Now, you mentioned about York University, and that was a place that you studied. Would you recommend York as a good place to study chemistry, and that possibly some of the students at the college could consider or should consider going there themselves?
Certainly was when I was there. It's been a while now, so I couldn't comment on its state now. But yeah, certainly when I was there, it was an absolutely fantastic place to study and absolutely lovely city as well. Just not too big, which is perfect for me coming from one of the most sparse counties in the UK, in Shropshire. And yeah, the city itself is absolutely wonderful. Just so much history and really interesting place to be, and lovely place to live.
And if you were thinking, I mean, you know, if you transported yourself back to when you were looking at different universities to go to yourself, if I said to you that you needed to look at something outside of the UK, which countries or which universities, even better, would you think about?
I have no idea. I've never considered that ever before.
Or to put it another way, which country might you want to live in for 3 or 4 years?
I think possibly the Netherlands or one of the Scandinavian countries might be quite interesting. Quite expensive maybe, but...
Yeah, expensive to live. But I mean, is that from a university point of view or from a lifestyle point of view or a climate point of view?
Just from a lifestyle point of view. Yeah, and climate is quite important as well. It's, yeah, not too hot up there.
So tell me a couple of things that you are into then when you're not at work.
I don't have too much free time, but I'm very much into sport, cricket and hockey. I do some brewing now as well, and a bit of gardening now that I've got a bit older.
Mm-hmm. What kind of brewing do you do then?
I've just started brewing some beers just on the kits at the minute as a very basic entry point, and then we'll sort of make my way up to doing some more sort of interesting type extract brews and maybe some mashes later.
This might be a really dumb question. Forgive me, I don't know a great deal about chemistry, but does it help being a chemistry teacher when it comes to some kind of brewing?
I think so. No, it's just chuck in some sugar, yeast, and let's go.
I guess, I mean, in terms of understanding the process of what's actually happening there.
Oh, I see. Right. Yeah. Possibly. But I think with these sorts of things, it might not be beneficial to get caught up too much in the science. There's as much art to it as anything, and taste and flavor of things and what you want to make is more of a creative process than a scientific one, potentially.
So it sounds to me, Rob, like you're a scientist and an artist.
Not sure about that. Try and retain some creative ability, but it's tough.
And you mentioned about gardening as well. Where did that come from?
My parents are both gardeners. They absolutely love it. So I tried to escape it, but as I've got a bit older, it's caught up with me.
And are you more into growing things that look good in the garden or more into growing things that taste good in the kitchen?
A bit of both, really. So we just started growing some blueberries last year and just started to reap the benefits of those. Some strawberries on the go at the minute and some tomatoes. Hopefully that will come into play later this summer. After the shortage of tomatoes in the winter, thought, oh, maybe we could try growing some of our own and have a bit more resilience to those shortages.
Yeah, no, I like that. Just for anyone listening, that was a UK shortage of tomatoes. I think that we were fairly isolated in this country in having that, but I'm not sure. So it may be that other people from overseas might be unfamiliar with that. Rob, we're keeping an eye on time. We're going to need to bring this episode to a close in a moment, but just tell me one thing you're really looking forward to about joining the college in a few weeks' time.
I'm really looking forward to getting to know my colleagues really well and to get to those students really well as well and get involved with their learning process and helping them get what they need to get, basically.
Excellent. all sounds like great stuff, and I'm sure they're looking forward to the same thing as well. Rob, we'll leave it there, but thank you so much for being here, especially given that you're giving up your private time, your personal time right now to record this episode. But I really appreciate you being here. Appreciate everything you said. Thank you.
Oh, thanks for having me. Thank you. Really enjoyed it.
So that was Dr. Rob Smith, new chemistry teacher at the college, someone who's into all sciences, it seems, as well as sport, gardening and brewing. It's always interesting to find out what people are into when they're not at work. Rob, thank you for being here. Really good to talk to you and great to have you here on the podcast. Now, our next episode is coming out soon, but in the meantime, thank you for listening to this one. Don't forget to follow or subscribe so you can stay in touch. And we look forward to seeing you next time. Bye for now.